good evening, America. Welcome to the show. This is Mark Levine. Glad to be here with you tonight. I was here to talk about the State of the Union. President Obama, of course, is giving his State of the Union speech before Congress at 9 p.m. Eastern Time sharp. You'll be hearing it right here on this station. And I am here the 2 hours before then, so you can talk with me and then stay tuned to this radio station that you're on and still hear the president. And, of course, after the president speaks, I'll come on again and tell you what I thought about it. But our attention is turned, right? It's hard to talk about the State of the Union when the State of the Union is that disturbed people with guns are wreaking havoc all over America. Now, I know I've done shows on gun regulations before, and yet every time I try to talk about the deficit or immigration or all the many issues of the day, and we'll get to some of them if there's time. I do want to talk about things like women in the military or the post office closing on Saturday, which I think is a terrible idea. We may even get to the drone memos. There's a lot of news going on, not to mention the Pope, right? I mean, there's a lot to talk about, but what can I say? Somewhere in the woods of Southern California, round Big Bear, there's a guy that presumably, and you know, if there's more recent knowledge, Mark Romaldi is going to fill me in as we go on with the show, but is holed up in a cabin with maybe 30 different weapons, and he's good. He's a marksman. He's a sharpshooter. He's a former LAPD police officer. He's already shot and killed one police officer and wounded another. And, of course, he's surrounded. And I don't know about you. This brings up all kinds of emotions in me. He has put forward what some are calling a manifesto, Chris Dorner, talking about alleged discrimination, racism in the Los Angeles Police Department, how he was treated unfairly. And for all I know, every one of his allegations are true. I don't know. They may or may not be true. The LAPD says they're false. He says they're true. Chris Dorner, the only way he can prove his allegations would be to give himself up and take them to a court of law. Of course, now he's already committed murder, so I guess there's not much hope for him. But I'll tell you what this made me think of most of all. Whenever I've done a show on guns and I've said there are legitimate reasons to own a rifle, a handgun, you know, if you hunt, that's a legitimate reason. Self-defense is a legitimate reason. It always bears pointing out that it's only a small minority of Americans that own guns. It's about 20%. 4 out of 5 of us don't have guns. And then of the 20% that do have guns, most of the people have one gun for self-defense. The people that stockpile guns, well, they're a certain selective 1%. Only 5% of Americans are hunters. Did you know that? 5%. Now, they have a legitimate reason to have their guns, and no one's taking their guns away. The other 15%, well, maybe 10% are using them for self-defense. Maybe they have a gun in the home. Though anyone will tell you that the kind of weaponry that was used recently in Newtown, Connecticut, and in Arizona, and in Colorado at the movie theater, I mean, just the list goes on and on, that those kinds of weapons aren't useful for self-defense. Not unless you have an army coming after you. We'll get to Chris Dorner in a second. But if the people who are invading your home are 1 or 2 or 3 burglars, you can hold them off with a shotgun or a handgun or a rifle. Actually, the sound of a rifle clicking, that sound that we've all heard in the movies at least, is probably enough to scare away most burglars. A semi-automatic gun, you don't do that, right? You just shoot. So these weapons, the kind with the 30-bullet ammunition clips or 100-bullet ammunition drums, they're not necessary for self-defense. And any hunter will tell you they're not necessary to shoot deer, because if you miss the deer in the first 2 or 3 shots, that deer's long gone, and you're just shooting at trees. So when I ask people who freely admit they don't need these kinds of military-style weaponry, they don't need them for self-defense. They don't need, against burglars, criminals, and they don't need them for hunting. I ask them why they want them, and a few of them admit, well, they're fun. I understand that. I understand that they're fun. I think driving a tank would be fun. I think driving an F-16 would be fun. You know, it'd be fun. And of course, I haven't joined the military. So I don't think it's so much fun that I'm willing to take that sacrifice. I admit that. But I'm sure it's fun. And I've even talked about ways you could have fun. For example, play paintball. Then you can shoot real life people and no one's damaged and you can have your fun. It's probably a lot more fun than skeet shooting at targets. But even if you really want to shoot an AR-15, I'm sure we can make it available at ranges where they're heavily guarded and you pick up your gun and you have your fun and you shoot your targets and you replace your gun and you go home. So if it's not hunting and if it's not self-defense and it's not fun, why do people want these weapons and why are they stockpiling them? There are 300 million guns in America and there's 350 million or so Americans. But only about, 60 million of us have a gun, one in five. And of those, most of us have one gun. So who are the people that have 30, 50, 100 guns? I suspect they're the same people who come on the air and tell me, nope, the reason why we have the Second Amendment, and they're wrong historically, and if you want to go there and argue with me, you know, call in. By all means, 888-653-7543, and let's chat about it. We've chatted about it before. But there are people that call into my show, call into Leslie's show, and they call in and they say, it's not for hunting, it's not for self-defense, and yeah, it's fun, but Mark, you're right, we could go to ranges and have fun there. Nope, we need them in case the government becomes tyrannical, in case the British come again and invade our shores, which hasn't happened since 1812, and that's a little more than 200 years ago, and I think we don't have much to fear from the Brits today, who, after all, while we have 32,000 people killed by guns every year, they have about 60. So the British aren't coming. And if they do come, we've got the most professional trained military in the world, the best military in the world by far. I would trust the military. So the real concern is not a whole invasion, outside forces, as it would have been legitimately in the 1770s. The concern is that our government's turning bad. You hear them say it all the time. We need the Second Amendment because our government might become tyrannical. To which I say this. We are nowhere near. Nowhere close. It's almost offensive to say in the same sentence to in any way compare our government with what's going on, say, in Syria, where you really do have a tyrannical dictator who really is massacring people and where I'd really like to see the people be armed. And they are slowly working to overthrow the government. I wish them success. I'd like to do a no-fly zone because the government is beating their arms with tanks and planes and so forth. But the United States, what happens is, in this case, a renegade cop by the name of Chris Dorner, believe he's been oppressed by the police, been oppressed by the government, and he's held up. And I have no doubt it's going to end in violence. He's going to end up dead. He's going to lose. He may take a few people out. He may murder a few more before he dies. Obviously, I don't hope that's the case. Please don't take it that way. But I fully expect it to be the case. Now, here's what's so interesting. It'd be hard to find a more sympathetic cop prior to his murders and carjackings and so forth than Chris Dorner, right? I mean, if you read his manifesto, even if you read portions of it, he tells you that the LAPD is racist. The Los Angeles Police Department punished him. They, after he turned in a white officer for using excessive force, and that he filed a claim within the police department, and because of institutionalized discrimination, he was fired as a whistleblower. And those of you that know me know I love whistleblowers. I'm a big fan of whistleblowers. I support all kinds of whistleblower protection laws. Frankly, on my show, The Inside Scoop, I'm giving you the inside scoop. I'm trying to whistleblow myself. I've had proud whistleblowers on air, including whistleblowers that have talked about racism in police, in the FBI. I had a whistleblower specifically on the FBI that I brought on my show. But here's the point. Here's the point, all of you that say that guns are how you fight tyranny. There is no less effective way to get your point across than the one that Chris Dorner chose. If Chris Dorner was wrongly fired and treated with racism by the Los Angeles Police Department, what can he do? He can file a claim with the police. Okay, they rejected it. He can file a lawsuit. I'm a big fan of lawsuits, particularly those against people in power. I'm a California lawyer myself. That'd be a great lawsuit if it's true what he claims. And I don't know whether it's true or not what he claims. That's not my point, the truth of his claims. But if his claims were true, he can file a claim against the police. He can sue them. He can go to his city council person. He can go to the mayor of Los Angeles, Antonio Villaraigosa, who's very well regarded and certainly is no racist. He's strongly supported by both Latino and the African-American population in Los Angeles. He can go to the federal government. I don't think Obama's racist. He can go to the U.S. Justice Department, run by Attorney General Eric Holder. He can go to his congressmen and senators. And if all else fails, yes, he can go to the Fourth Estate. He can go to the press. He can come on my show or anyone else's show. Go to CNN. Go to MSNBC. There are plenty of people who would be sympathetic to claims about the Los Angeles Police Department and racism. But he chose a particularly stupid and dangerous route. He chose to take on the police with guns. And therefore, he's not only evil, he's an idiot. What better way to make clear that your claims have no value than to go out and shoot cops or go after their families or invade a home and take hostages? I have no sympathy whatsoever for this man, who I might well have had sympathy for a month ago before he went on his crime spree. And to those of you who think that you're going to defeat the United States government or the police with guns, well, look what's going to happen to Chris Dorner. I think his life is going to end very shortly in a shootout. Guns are not the way to fight tyranny in the United States of America. The way to fight tyranny in the United States of America, it's called democracy. It's called talk radio. It's called going to the press. It's called reporters. It's called every level of government. Going to your city council person and your mayor and your state legislators and your governor and your federal congressmen and senators and president, all of whom would be sympathetic to a claim of racism in the Los Angeles Police Department. Chris Dorner had any number of avenues he could appeal to, and he chose violence. And let that be a lesson to all of you who think that your guns are going to protect you against tyranny. If tyranny really exists, we can fight it in America. We just do it through Constitution and the laws. I hope this is resolved quickly. I hope they take Chris Dorner down safely. But if he dies in a shootout, I won't shed a tear for him. 888-653-7543. This is Mark Levine. Whether you agree or disagree, I want to hear from you. Give me a call. I'm upset. Are you? Be right back after this. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine. As we speak, apparently, and again, all of this is happening in real time, so the news may not be accurate, but apparently there is smoke emanating from the cabin in Big Bear, California, where Chris Dorner is allegedly held up. My guess is the place has been firebombed, but that's just my speculation. I certainly don't know that to be true. But I think it shows that you don't try to take on the U.S. government or even the Los Angeles Police Force with guns. If you have a legitimate complaint, and Chris Dorner may have had one. He may well have had one. The LAPD has a history of racism, okay? But if you had a legitimate complaint, there were any number of legitimate authorities who would listen to his complaint at the local, state, and federal levels. And, of course, there's the media. And to all of you who think your guns are going to let you take on the government, well, what's happening right now is a sign that if you are stockpiling guns to take on the U.S. government, then unless you want to end dead, it's a really bad idea. All right, let's go to Tony in Niagara Falls, see whether he agrees or disagrees with me. Hey, Tony, how are you?
Hey, Mark.
Hey
first
there.
First-time caller. And,
thanks for calling in.
You're welcome. Mark, I've got some formal legal background, and I do agree with you. You don't, you know, the pen is always mightier than the sword.
It really is, particularly in America. I mean, we're not in Syria.
Right. If you got a beef with the government, you know, file a civil action in either state or federal court, and make sure you're prepared and you do a good job. I just happen to be a freelance paralegal. I'm well accomplished. I filed 1983 actions in federal court and successfully so on my own behalf. I was a victim one time of government abuse, and I turned out to be a victor at the very end. So
terrific. 1983, for those of you who don't know, is a U.S. federal statute. It's been around a long time. It's basically a civil rights action when the government takes away your civil rights, and that's exactly how you do it. Tony's exactly right.
Sure.
Go ahead, Tony.
And this Dorner fella in California, he had an employment claim that he could have gone after for retaliatory actions against his municipality.
Right.
But, you know, getting back to, you know, this is the United States. You don't need guns to take on the government. I am an avid hunter. You know, I've hunted all my life. My father is an immigrant.
And that's
from
fine.
The old country.
You heard me, Tony. I'm defending hunting. I'm just not defending hunting cops.
Yeah.
If you want to hunt deer, that's fine with me. Okay.
I get it. No, I'm not trying to engage in any disagreement with you.
Okay.
It's just that you know, does the government not have confidence in we citizens? Do they have to limit us to the point, hey, look, guys, we can't trust you with any more than 7 rounds in your guns, you know, because you know, we can't trust you with a car that goes over 100 miles an hour.
I'll tell you what, Tony. I want to keep chatting with you. I'll tell you what, I got to take a break. I'm coming up on a hard break, but stay there, and I'll continue this conversation when we come back. Folks, if you want to join in the discussion, it's 888-653-7543. I'll continue my conversation with Tony right after this. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine. CNN is reporting that tear gas has been put in the cabin where former Los Angeles Police Department officer Chris Dorner is holed up. Now, Mark Romaldi, my producer, has reported he has seen fire. Right? You see actual fire, Mark, from the scene?
Yeah, there's fire coming from the front of the cabin. They weren't showing pictures of the cabin for a while, but now they're showing video that has fire coming from the cabin. A lot of fire. It seems to be increasing.
You know, I hate to take credit for something like this, but I predicted this seconds before it happened. And I didn't know it happened when I predicted it. And I'm going to get back to Tony from Niagara Falls in just a second, but I'll just make my point real quick, which is that Chris Dorner may well have had a legitimate claim against the Los Angeles Police Department. They are known for racism and corruption. But there are ways in a democracy, and we are still a republic, constitutional republic, there are ways to get your message across at the local, federal and state levels, and also through the courts, and also through the press. And obviously arming yourself and shooting cops ain't the way to do it. So all of you who think the Second Amendment is about protecting yourself with guns from our government, note that this isn't working very well for Chris Dorner or for the, well, good people of the community of Big Bear, California, who are holed up in their homes, scared for good reason. All right, let me get back to Tony from Niagara Falls. Sorry, Tony, I had to cut you off. We had to go to this break, but you've got all the time you want. Go ahead.
Yeah, fair enough. I understand. Well, in the Chris Dorner matter, he was the aggressor. I mean, he wasn't exercising his Second Amendment for self-protection. Obviously, he was
obviously
abusing his right to keep and bear arms as an individual right, as our Supreme Court has decided twice in the past couple of years. But you know, so the way he's using it is inconsistent to what our constitutional freedom has given us, you know.
But Tony, here's the thing about the constitutional freedom, okay? I understand. I happen to disagree with, and that's another talk for another day about the Supreme Court decision in Heller, and I disagree with it. But the point is that decision, even that decision, allowed for the reasonable restriction of guns, and that decision did not say that you have the right to have guns to fight against the government, which I tell you, people still call in all the time and say, yeah, we need those guns in case the government turns against us. No, that's not the reason. You use it for self-defense in your own home, not against the police, but against, you know, criminals and burglars and so forth. And as I've said on this show, if you need a 30-bullet magazine or a 100-bullet drum to, because you've got 20, 30, 40 people coming in to get you, it's highly likely you're the bad guy, and the people coming to get you are the good guys. And so that's another reason why I don't want people to have this kind of weaponry. Go ahead.
And on that note, once again, you know, as a informed society as we would like to believe we are, you know, once again, and going back to the point that, look, don't you trust me? You know, it's like my government saying, we don't trust you with any more than 7 rounds in New York State.
Well, it's not about you, Tony. It's about, do I trust every single one of 350 million Americans with an assault weapon with a 30-bullet magazine? No, I do not. It's not about you, Tony. Do I trust Chris Dorner? No, I don't. Do I trust the killer in Colorado or Arizona or Newtown, Connecticut? No, I don't. I don't trust every American with that. I certainly don't trust every American with a tank or with nuclear warhead codes or anything like that. No, I don't.
I hear you, Mark, but guess what? Out of over 300 million Americans, you only can mention about 5. How many?
Well, I'll tell you what I can mention. I can mention 32,000 gun deaths a year. That's what I can mention. So it's a lot more than 5.
But that's what okay, 32,000
a year.
Bad people out of over 300 million.
I'm not trying to take away your guns, Tony. I'm telling you that you can have a gun for hunting, you can have a gun for self-defense, but you don't need military-style assault weapons.
No, I agree.
All right, okay.
I don't own one.
Okay.
And I probably never will because I have no desire to own one.
You don't need one. You don't need one for hunting, and you don't need one for self-defense, and unless you are in the police or are in the military, you don't need one of these weapons unless I'm afraid you're crazy and want to take on the government.
Well, let look at it this way. Do you think maybe our government is keeping itself in check because we citizens do have these rights?
No.
We citizens do have the rights to keep and bear arms?
No.
And that Constitution was put in place for self-protection. That constitutional right wasn't put in place for you and I to go hunting to put food on our table.
That's true.
That constitutional amendment was put in place for our self-protection.
No,
no. So you think maybe local government... Don't forget, this is a huge country. You know, our president and our federal government cannot keep an eye on each and every local municipality, state, federal, town, and local jurisdiction. I mean, you've got a lot of bad... governments, and I'm not just saying police agencies, but governments in themselves within this country that go unchecked, that hide under the shroud of secrecy.
Okay,
and
let me respond.
There are areas in this country that need to be looked at.
You made your point. Let me respond to it. All right, it's a solid point. Let me respond to it. You actually make 2 points. One is about initially why the Second Amendment came into place. And the other is the government being good because they fear an armed citizenry? Separate points. Let me deal with them one at a time. The first point is why the Second Amendment came into place to begin with. All you got to do is read the Second Amendment, which says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. This is why I disagree with the Heller decision, okay? At the time that the Second Amendment was ratified in 1791, we didn't have a standing army. In fact, the founders opposed a standing army. They opposed it so much that in that same constitution, you have to reauthorize the army and navy and air force and marines every single Congress, every 2 years. They've got to reauthorize it. You can't even authorize an army to stand 3 years in America because our constitution prohibits it because the founders were so worried about a standing army. They believed in the militia. It was necessary at the time. You had white people fighting Native Americans. You had French and British irregulars. You did have to worry about the British, and they would call up the local militia, much like the West, the Wild West, because there wasn't much government in the West, would call up a posse. They would get together well-regulated, trusted, armed citizens to defend the community. That's the way it was in the 1700s in the East. That's the way it was in the 1800s in the West. That hasn't been that way in America for 100 years. Today, we have a military. We have a police force. We have SWAT teams, and that's what they do. So I completely disagree that the Second Amendment was designed to protect people against the government. It was designed to protect people against lawless elements when there was no government, when there was anarchy. So I strongly disagree. If you look at the history of the Second Amendment, it was to protect the people against anarchy when there was no government. It was not to protect the people against the government. The second point that you made is that the government is careful because they fear an armed citizenry. I strongly disagree. I think the government is careful because of the checks and balances in our constitutional republic. The president is careful lest he be impeached. Your mayor, your governor, we've sent mayors to jail, we've sent governors to jail, members of Congress have gone to jail. They're afraid of being found out by the press. They're more afraid of 60 Minutes, I got to tell you, than they are of Chris Dorner. Chris Dorner is doing no harm to the Los Angeles Police Department. In fact, if anything, he's making them look better, even if they are racist and corrupt, which they may well be. 60 Minutes does a lot more damage to the LAPD than Chris Dorner will ever do. Go ahead.
I agree with you. So do you is it your position that our Constitution is a living constitution? Is that what you're saying?
I'm a strict constructionist.
As we evolve in a civilized society, our Constitution, this country, changes?
I don't believe the words of the Constitution change. I do believe that sometimes the words in the Constitution have different meaning. I'll give you the clearest example. We the people, beginning the preamble, we the people, or all men are created equal in the Declaration of Independence. Those words, at the time they were used, people meant white men. And when Thomas Jefferson said all men were created equal, he meant white men. Today we understand people to be men and women, white and black. We understand that mankind is created equal. But the words stay. I'm a strict constructionist. I just believe that the actual words should be abided by, not necessarily the sentiments of the founders, but the actual words. I'm a strict constructionist. You write a word down, that word has meaning unless that word is changed. And the Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia is necessary to the security of a free state. I say that the right of the people to keep and bear arms within a well-regulated militia shall not be infringed. And if people who don't like the Second Amendment, which says a well-regulated militia is protected, if they don't like it, they need to change it and get rid of that whole first clause, which is why the Supreme Court, I think, was dead wrong in saying, oh, the founders didn't mean those first 10 words. They didn't know what they were saying. The founders were high at the time, and they wrote stuff that they didn't mean. I strongly disagree with what I consider an insult to the founders to say they didn't mean it when they said a well-regulated militia is necessary to secure a free state. They only meant the last 10 words. They didn't mean the first 10 words. Scalia knows better. The founders were intelligent. They meant what they said. If you don't like the Constitution, change it. I'm a strict constructionist, and I'm tired of all these conservatives pretending that words in the Constitution don't exist. If you don't like the Constitution, change it. That's my view. Okay, I'm
done. Point well taken, Mark. Point
Thank
well
you. I get really upset because, you know, people are like, oh, liberals don't respect the Constitution. No, I respect the Constitution, which is why I read the Second Amendment for what it says. And again, that's why all these people are like, don't you respect the Second Amendment? I do respect the Second Amendment, which is why I respect the whole history of militias and posses in America. But that doesn't mean that a guy can go hold up in the woods and start taking out the police force. And if you believe that, you've got a really perverted idea of the Second Amendment.
You got to isolate this situation. Come on, this guy is as distraught as they come.
Right.
He's insane. There's
right.
no doubt that there's a sense of insanity there. I mean, no level objectively minded individual is going to do what this man is doing. There's something wrong with this man.
That's right.
Now,
but
by the fact that maybe he doesn't have coping, he didn't learn good coping skills. He doesn't have the mental capacity to deal with this thing, or
Tony,
whatever the case may be. It's obvious that this guy is not the average normal mind.
No, of course he's not, and I'm not saying he is. Look, Tony, the Supreme Court found in the Heller decision that there's an individual right to keep and bear arms. Now, if you look at it logically, the way they said it, that would mean that every individual has the right to keep and bear arms. Do you think Chris Dorner still has a right to keep and bear arms? I say he does not. He forfeited that right. didn't he?
Well, of course he, did.
Of course he did, right?
If you listen to Scalia's decision,
right? Okay, I read it, Heller.
If you listen to him talk, you can go on in and you can listen to it, and I listened to the majority of it.
Yeah,
back when they wrote this Constitution, you know, we as a society protected ourselves against what? Against bears, against wolves, against criminals.
I am fine with protecting against wolves and bears. I'm fine with that.
You know, and we use that. Well, back when the
you still do. You still do. There's still people in the forest that need guns.
Years ago, we didn't have the pistol. We all had long guns. You know, now things have evolved. Things have changed.
20 years ago, they had a musket, which you had to basically stamp it down the powder, and it took a minute to get another shot out. I'm fine with people having muskets.
But the criminal's not knocking at your door with a musket.
No, which is why I want the police to be better armed than the criminals.
The cops, look, when you dial 911, the wolf's at the door, you're a dead man. The cop's not going to protect you. You know that.
But you don't need an AR-15. You're fine with your shotgun or your rifle, right?
I guess so. You know, but
you're a hunter. You're a hunter. Somebody knocks on your door.
Look, when I went to hunter training, you take a hunter training class. You know, the instructor stood up with a .22 rifle, a big 12-gauge shotgun, and one instructor was 20 feet from the other instructor. Now, they didn't point the guns at each other, but they asked one question to the class, and they said, which gun is more dangerous, this little .22 rifle or this big, bad 12-gauge shotgun that you can put this big round in there, or 12-gauge slug or buckshot? Which gun is more dangerous? And we all thought about it, and people were debating back and forth.
I assume the little gun because it's concealable.
No, they're both dangerous.
Well, sure, that's true. They're both dangerous.
They both can kill you.
There you go.
And that's the answer to this problem. All guns can kill.
And because all guns can kill, because all guns can kill, all guns need to be regulated so they don't end up in the wrong hands. It's that simple. I'm fine with lawful hunters.
We do have our laws regulating that. If you are a convicted felon, you cannot own a gun.
Sure you can. You go to a gun show and there's no background check. And then you could have murdered 100 people, got out on parole. You could be Osama bin Laden. Well, he's dead. You could be Al-Qaeda leader number 3, walk into a gun show in Arizona, and pick yourself up a bunch of military-style assault weapons, no questions asked. That's the law that needs to change.
Nothing's going to stop someone from getting a gun. It'll stop me because I don't want something that's illegal. It's going to stop you because you don't want a 50 caliber machine gun.
Crimes with assault weapons have gone down.
It's illegal.
Tony, real quick, because I got a report on the situation. First of all, assault weapons crimes did go down with the assault weapons ban. They've been back up. I need to report that according to CNN, explosives have been fired into the cabin, and authorities are concerned that the fire in the cabin may have been a diversion by Dorner to escape, that Dorner himself may have set the fire in order to escape. This is a breaking story. I don't know where it's going to end, but I got to tell you this. I don't think it's going to end well for Dorner, and I think it's a lesson that the best way to fight your government is not with guns, but through the constitutional republic that we have, by the courts, by local, state, and federal officials, and yes, if you need to, by the press. Hey, Tony, thanks for this discussion. I appreciate it. When we come back, we've got to do Talk Radio News Service, and we're going to hear the latest on what's happening with Chris Dorner. But I really want Keith and Jeff to hang on, particularly Keith, because he's in Los Angeles, and I want to hear what he thinks about the Los Angeles Police Department. So, Keith, I hope you can stay on till 8:06. We're going to get to you. We're going to get to Jeff in Indiana. And coming up, we've got the Talk Radio News Service with the latest on what's going on in Big Bear, California. Thank you for your call, Tony. This is Mark Levine. If you want to call in as well, we'll get to you in the next hour, 888-653-7543. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine. We're going to get back to the situation in Big Bear, California. I promise at the top of the hour, I do want to hear from Keith and in Los Angeles and Jeff in Indiana. I hope you'll stay on the line, and we'll get back to all the news. Apparently, there is a fire. There is smoke. And it's not clear whether it's because Dorner tried to escape. We'll give you all the news. Right now, though, I want to go to Justice Duckham and the Talk Radio News Service because there is a State of the Union address coming on in an hour and 5 minutes that you're going to hear right here on this station. Justin's got some information about it. Hi, Justin.
Hey, yes. seriously, talk about historical parallels. You know, the O.J. Simpson verdict and the State of the Union occurred on the same night. And,
that's true.
You know, there's a lot of comparisons going on between this Dorner thing and tonight's State of the Union address.
Well, I think one of the reasons is because Obama is supposed to talk at length about regulating guns, right, at the State of the Union?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's not just that. We're also going to see a huge array of gun violence victims and the families of them who are going to be in the, you know, chamber tonight. You know, on my way over here, actually, I rode the subway with the, you know, head councilwoman from Newtown, Connecticut. And, you know, we're just seeing a lot of other people like that showing up in the Capitol, as well as the family of the young Chicago girl who attended the inauguration and then was shot. She will be in the first lady's box as well. So that's really going to be sort of the subtext for a lot of the night. When people look out into the chamber and when the cameras pan out, there will certainly be a lot of people who are, you know, symbols of the need for enhanced gun control.
Justin, Marco Rubio is giving the Republican response, and he's definitely, as far as I'm concerned, running in 2016. He hasn't announced that yet, but I'd put money on it. He's certainly the new face of the Republican Party. He's the guy who's the Latino face, and he's willing to at least talk about immigration reform. I'm curious whether you believe that Marco Rubio will address these gun violence issues, given what's happening in Big Bear, given the victims in the audience, given what Obama's going to say in the State of the Union, or is he going to avoid that topic with a 10-foot pole, particularly given what's going on in Big Bear, and only talk about this immigration and things like that?
It doesn't look like that's necessarily going to be something he's going to focus on. We've only seen limited excerpts as of this time, and from what we've seen, that's not something that's been mentioned. You know, that is something that... you know, could be meant that he could invoke, but that doesn't necessarily reach as many Republican voters as they would like. And
see, I don't think he will. I don't think he will. I make all kinds of predictions on this show. I predict that Marco Rubio is going to stay far away from this question, other than to talk about in general about, you know, caring for people. Because I got to tell you something. This is something that gives a lot of money to the Republican Party. But even Republican voters, I think, know that you don't hold up in a cabin and start shooting at cops. And it's really hard to defend weaponry that does this when this is going on right as we speak. Hey, Justin, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. We're going to get back to the discussion of what's going on in California and why some people have sympathy for Chris Dorner. You know, I'd have a lot more sympathy for him if he wasn't holed up in a cabin shooting cops. We'll be right back at the top of the hour, 888-653-7543. This is Mark Levine, back after this. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine. I'm happy to be with you tonight. The State of the Union is coming up in 1 hour on this station. In that State of the Union, President Obama is scheduled to talk aloud about gun regulation. He has put in the audience next to the First Lady, and apparently sprinkled throughout the audience, are victims of gun violence or survivors or people, family members of people killed by guns. How ironic, then, that the country is fixated right now on a guy with military-style assault weapons, the kind that Obama wants to ban, being used against, well, cops and SWAT teams that are trying to arrest the guy. His name is Christopher Dorner. He had a complaint against the Los Angeles Police Department. That complaint said that his co-officer kicked a mentally ill person that they were there to arrest after she tased him. She tased him when apparently the mentally ill man was tussling with Christopher Dorner. And then after he said this, he reported it to the Los Angeles Police Department. They did an investigation, determined that his claim was not true. They talked with three hotel employees and so forth, and then they dismissed him from the police force. He sued in a California court and apparently lost the case up to the Court of Appeals. You can read all about this on CNN. I say this not at all to justify what Christopher Dorner is doing. I say this to point out that he may well have been right. He may well have been unlawfully fired. I don't know the circumstances. I haven't read the court case. Sometimes courts get things wrong. No question about it. But none of that justifies what he's doing right now. There are ways to fight corruption in a police force. There are ways to get your complaint heard. If the courts don't listen, you can go to politicians at local, federal, and state levels. You can also go to the press. As I said last hour, I think the our government officials have more to fear from 60 Minutes than they do from an armed man in a cabin. I think the armed man in the cabin may scare a bunch of citizens, quite rightly, but it doesn't scare the government very much. That's not the way to fight back. And even if everything Christopher Dorner says is true, even if his complaint had merit, what he does is he actually gives less sympathy for his cause. I am sympathetic, very sympathetic, to claims of racism and corruption in the Los Angeles Police Department. I'm very sympathetic to that. But this doesn't add to that sympathy. This actually detracts from it. We have a Justice Department that can look into these allegations. They should be looked into, but not this way. This is Mark Levine. If you want to find out more about me, you can go to marklevinetalk.com or follow me on Twitter at marklevinetalk. And I've been waiting a long time. I know Keith has been waiting a long time to talk with me. He's in Los Angeles. I have no idea what his views are, but I'm about to find out. Keith in Los Angeles, line 5. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, Mark?
So, you're in L.A. I got a million questions for you, but why don't you start and tell me your general thoughts, and then I'll ask you my questions.
Well, I agree with what you said in the opener there, pretty much all of it.
Okay.
I got to say, in the last week, I feel like there's probably a better chance of me being shot by the police than from Christopher Dorner, since they've already shot three people that had nothing to do with it, didn't match his description of his vehicle. And, I'm a little upset about that.
As you should be. Let me ask you this, Keith, because Los Angeles Police Department has a long history of racism and corruption, and I mean decades-long history. It predates Rodney King by many, many decades. If you saw the film L.A. Confidential, I always think of that film because that, I think, dates back to the 50s or 60s and had a corrupt police force. But let me ask you this. Here's what I don't understand. The mayor of Los Angeles, Antonio Villaraigosa, is pretty well regarded, isn't he? I mean, he's certainly not seen as any way racist or corrupt, is he?
Yeah, I mean, I see him as sort of a benign figure.
Well, I mean, and I think most people in Los Angeles do. I mean, you might not think he's the best governor or whatever, mayor or whatever, but I don't think people think that he's any way corrupt. So why can't Antonio Villaraigosa help ferret out the corruption in the Los Angeles Police Department, get rid of the crooked cops, and have a good police force? Well, what's his problem? Is he not strong enough? What's going on?
Well, I don't know personally how much power he as one person would have over that. I know different cities, different mayors have different amounts of power, correct?
True, but I thought and I may be wrong, but I thought he appointed the police chief.
Right.
But doesn't he? Doesn't the mayor appoint the police chief in Los Angeles?
I'll
double check that.
I don't know.
Okay.
I do know that I remember after the riots, Daryl Gates?
Right.
Was the guy. And they put in what was his name, Willie Williams?
Right.
They put him in pretty quick.
Here's my question.
People,
Do you believe that Chris Dorner had a fair opportunity to go through legal methods to get his point across?
It sounds like he spent a lot of time doing that. Yeah,
he did. He actually went to the courts, and he went to the California Court of Appeals.
Absolutely.
And so forth. Now, see, here's the thing. Perhaps the courts got it right. A lot of times they do. That's our system. That's the best we've got. I can tell
right.
you, I'm a California attorney. I'm not practicing right now, but I still have a law license. And I have seen injustice in the courtroom. I suspect
right.
most attorneys have. Sometimes courts get it wrong, and they get it wrong for all kinds of reasons. They get it wrong because some people have lousy lawyers. They get it wrong
mm-hmm.
because some people aren't financed well enough to make their case, and the other side is better financed. But all that being said, I would argue most of the time they get it right. Most of the time, I actually did see justice. Not all the time. And I got to tell you, injustice is really painful to me as a lawyer, and I want to keep
right.
fighting, keep fighting. Sometimes you actually just got to live with a little bit of injustice because no system is perfect. And I think Chris Dorner is actually really doing the cause, a legitimate cause, of fighting racism and corruption in the Los Angeles Police Department. He's doing a tremendous disservice because he's making it look like all allegations of racism and corruption are wrong and foolish and dangerous, when really there are some legitimate concerns. So I would argue that he's actually harming the cause he purports to be fighting for.
Yeah, I think that he would have a lot more support among even the people, you know, the armchair revolutionary types, if he didn't kill the children of the...
There you go.
Yeah.
Actually, the first woman he killed, for those who don't know, 27-year-old woman that he murdered, was the daughter of the person that represented him in his Los Angeles Police Department appeal.
That's not cool.
No, it really isn't. Now, and, you know, I don't know whether he was well represented. It's interesting. I was talking to a prosecutor recently and asking that prosecutor whether he felt himself in danger. And he said, not really. Usually the defense attorneys are actually in more danger from their clients than we are, because it seems the criminals sort of understand it's a prosecutor's job to try to put them in bars. They get angry at their own lawyers for not getting them off. And in this case, right, of course, the person he killed was the daughter of his police union representative. And apparently her fiance died too. I don't know if they have pinned that one on him too, though I suspect if he killed her, he probably killed him as well. You know, that's not the way to make your case.
Right. Mark, if I could comment on the tweet that actually brought me to call to the
sure,
show.
Sure, please do.
I'd like to.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know that you guys wrote a tweet that this is the example of why it's going against the government with guns is not the answer.
Right.
And my response was, objectively speaking, Dorner seems to be a pretty good giving the LAPD a run for their money. And he's just one guy.
I'm sure he is giving them a run for their money, and I'm sure he has not only murdered a police officer, but he's trying to kill many more.
Right.
And but at the end of the day, he's going to lose. I mean, I don't think anyone can doubt that.
I don't agree with what he's doing, but I just, for a long time, I've been one of the people, like, you know, I've been thinking to myself, okay, all these people say, you know, you hear talks of secession and, you know, the Tree of Liberty, and I just kind of have been laughing at that over the years. But at this point, if one guy with good training could take this long and do this much damage, and really, honestly, come on, even he's totally freaked everybody out if they're shooting cars that don't even match the description. So what if it was 10 guys? What if it was 20 guys? And it never really is. It's usually the one guy.
Well, because usually only one person snaps at a time, unless you have a domestic terrorist organization, which we really haven't had that much in this country. We got Ku Klux Klan, it usually is one person who snaps.
Right.
And so at the end of the day, no matter how good a marksman he is, he can't take on the U.S. Army. He can't take on all of them. He's going to lose. He's going to die, I think. I'm sure if he would surrender, he wouldn't, but I don't think he's going to surrender. Already it's being reported that the cabin's on fire. This is what gets me, is that people talk hypothetically on this show all the time. Oh, well, you know, we need our AR-15s. We need our Bushmasters. We need these military-style assault weapons, because if the government turns to tyranny, we got to take them on. And the answer is, if 100 people are out to get you, or in this case probably 1,000, you're probably the bad guy, not the good guy, and you're not going to win. Chris Dorner may be the best marksman, the most difficult fugitive to capture, but they will capture him. I'm quite confident of that. It's not going to end well for him, and the cause that he purports to fight for, which is actually a legitimate good cause, is going to get hurt by this conflict.
Right. Yeah, I just got to say, I mean, I was born in Queens. I grew up there and in Los Angeles. I've never owned a gun. I only just recently fired a gun because I just felt like I should know at least what it feels like. But if I got this far, you know, and I didn't stay holed up in my house. I mean, I grew up skateboarding, I was DJing, I was out, I was everywhere. I never needed a gun. So it's not, I'm all for regulation. I mean, I don't want to take everybody's away, but I would like to make it slightly harder to get, like, things that could blow holes in walls.
Absolutely. Listen, if you're mentally ill, if you're a violent felon, you shouldn't have access to a gun. In this case, I do think these kinds of weapons can be in the hands of police officers and soldiers, but it's all about well-regulated, those wonderful words in the Second Amendment. And as soon as Chris Dorner...
Yeah, they love the word militia, but they seem to forget those two words that came before it.
I'll tell you something. When he lost his job as a police officer, it's okay with me if they take away his assault weapon. You let him still have his regular guns. Again, I'm not trying to ban hunting rifles or shotguns or handguns, the kind, you know, ordinary hunters and self-defense. But it seems to me that only active police officers, and I'm not saying an active police officer can't snap either. They certainly can. But that's why we need well-regulated things. And part of well-regulation, by the way, is also making sure that the police department is being watched. And I think that the LAPD, I'll tell you one thing I'll give them credit for, and I don't give the LAPD credit very often. They are reopening the case, not to satisfy Chris Dorner, but to satisfy the public that justice was done in his case. And I would hope that the government of Los Angeles and the mayor and the city council people are carefully watching, because there is this history of corruption, and they need to do that, notwithstanding any horror that Chris Dorner is you know, doing right now.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Keith. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark. Take care.
And we're going to get to Jeff from Indiana in just 1 second. I got to take another break. If you want to call in and join this discussion, it's 888-653-7543. This station will move on to the State of the Union address at 9 p.m. You won't miss that, so stay tuned. This is Mark Levine. We'll be right back right after this. This is Mark Levine giving you the latest on what's going on in Big Bear, California, and talking about it at 888-653-7543. Apparently, after the fire began in the cabin, it's not quite clear to me, based on reports, who started it. The police apparently did shoot smoke bombs into the house that may have caught something on fire. It's also quite possible Chris Dorner set the house fire himself. In any case, it's just been reported that the suspect briefly left the house, but trying to escape, but the police pushed him back in, which I presume means a shot at him, and he ran back in the house. It is an ongoing report. We will give you ongoing reports as it occurs. And we're also talking about this situation. It says a lot to me about, a lot of things. Everything from racism in the Los Angeles Police Department to the real use and misuse of guns. And it suggests to me that the way to fight back against your government is by filing complaints. Chris Dorner did try. He did file a complaint in the courts, and he lost. And sometimes you just lose. I don't know whether his complaint was fair or not. I do know that it's been reported that after losing his complaint, he shot and killed both the daughter of the police officer, the union representative that was defending him on appeal. He shot her daughter and her fiancé, Monica Kwan, and her fiancé, Keith Lawrence, while sitting in a car in a parking structure. Wow, that's scary. So whatever sympathy you might have for Dorner, whatever merit to his claims, I think they went out the window the moment he shot and killed two completely innocent people, the daughter of the man who apparently was trying to help him. I don't care if he bungled it. If her father bungled the claim, you could sue him for malpractice, right? You can file a complaint. You can go to 60 Minutes. I mean, I do talk radio. I do Inside Scoops. The name of my show is The Inside Scoop. It's all there at my website, marklevinetalk.com. I try to expose malfeasance in government, and that's part of what I do. But I don't shoot people. That's not the way to expose malfeasance in government. Chris Dorner completely took the wrong path. Since that time, he has apparently shot at police officers protecting some of the people he has threatened in his manifesto. Then he finally did shoot a police officer in the suburb of Corona. He shot another one in Riverside, killed a police officer who'd been on the Riverside force for 11 years, and seriously wounded another one in full recovery. Actually, the police shot two in Torrance in mistaken identity, thinking they were Christopher Dorner. So two people got shot by the police because of Chris Dorner, though, of course, the police themselves who shoot at the wrong people, they need to be corrected as well. You know, it just goes on and on and on, and we don't know how it's going to end. But the one lesson that I learn from all of this is that the people who say, well, we got to have arms for all our people in case the government becomes like tyrants, I just think they got a screw loose. The government, if the government's out to get you, they will. Okay? They've got, they just firebombed the house, apparently. Again, all these details, I'm just getting them as they come in, so I may get some details incorrect. But apparently, they just dropped smoke bombs in the house, which are now on fire. You can't fight the United States Army with guns. Iraq couldn't fight the United States government with arms. You don't like the United States government. You don't like the United States Army. You know how you fight it? You do a petition. You write your member of Congress. You write the president. You file a lawsuit. You make a complaint to the Justice Department. There are ways in a constitutional republic to fight back. But arming yourself and shooting at cops? Sorry, Chris Dorner. I may well have had sympathy for your claims, but I have no sympathy for people who murder innocent people. None. None. All right, Jeff from Indiana, I promise I'll get to you right after this break. 888-653-7543 if you want to join the discussion. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine. Currently on fire is the cabin where suspect Chris Dorner is suspected to be held out in the near Big Bear Lake in Southern California. It's been on fire for about an hour. It's been reported that he tried to leave the cabin and was sort of pushed back in, I guess, by fire from the police officers. No one is allowed near the cabin. He can shoot for up to a mile with his marksmanship and his highly functional weaponry, I should say. But I have no doubt he will eventually be taken, and I think he won't be taken alive. This is Mark Levine. If you want to call in, 888-653-7543. President Obama, in 26 minutes, will give a State of the Union address. You'll be able to hear it live on this station. I'll shut up and let him talk, and he's going to talk a lot about gun violence, so stay tuned for that. We have Jeff from Indiana, who's been hanging on a very long time, which I really do appreciate. Jeff, well, the floor is yours. Go ahead.
It's Levine. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Call me Mark.
Mark?
Yes.
Call me Jeff. You have?
I have.
I came on initially. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
First of all. But I came on initially. I want to make one little point about democracy versus republic. But since listening here, waiting for what seemed like an eternity, a couple other things came up in my mind that I wanted to kind of make a little point on.
Go ahead.
I guess the first thing, democracy versus republic, what I initially wanted to call in about. In the Federalist Papers, it's a collection of newspaper prints from the early 1800s when we gained our independence from Britain.
Jeff, can I just stipulate, because I want to move on to the gun stuff. Can I stipulate that we live in a constitutional republic? I think democracy is shorthand for that. I realize it's not a direct democracy. People don't vote on every issue. They elect representatives that then vote on the issues. I accept that. And I don't. To me, it's whether you call something a democracy. Most democracies are not direct democracies. People don't go out and vote on every issue. So that was my shorthand. And if that offended you, I apologize. But I'd like to move on to a discussion of what's going on in California and guns, because I think that's the more interesting discussion.
Yeah.
Is that okay if we move on to that?
Oh, that's perfectly all right.
All right, go ahead.
Very important conversation in itself. So, I guess the definition of assault rifle, what you've been talking about lately, you know, assault rifles need
right.
to be out of the hands.
Right, semi-automatic.
Yeah, semi-automatic. Just to make a little point, my revolver, my .357 in my house, is technically semi-automatic. I pull the trigger once, it fires. I pull the trigger again, it fires. I don't have to cock the hammer back.
Okay, and how many bullets are in that drum or magazine?
Six. There's six. It's a revolver.
Okay. Well, so I'm not worried about six bullet magazines. Those aren't the ones that Obama wants to ban, and nor do I.
Sure.
I think 10 seems reasonable to me. You could argue for 9 or 11 or 8 or 12, but I think 30 is beyond what any non-police officer needs for self-defense or hunting.
Sure. And I would agree to a point, but the whole thing about assault weapons, the definition that's being targeted is the fact that it's the semi-automatic, pull the trigger, bullet comes out, don't have to do anything else, pull the trigger again, another bullet comes out.
Right, that's the definition of semi-automatic. I've been told by people, actually, who know a lot more about this than I do, that in many ways a semi-automatic weapon, particularly when hooked up to a drum of 100 bullets, is more dangerous than even a machine gun, which has been outlawed since the 1930s, because they tell me a machine gun, you squeeze the trigger, you know, and dozens of bullets or hundreds of bullets come out at once, and you can basically, in a few seconds, there's everything. That you know, you've used up all your weaponry, whereas a semi-automatic gun is perfect if you want to shoot children in school, because you could shoot a few more, and suddenly you've got a dozen children, each with a dozen bullets in them. Oh, did I lose you, Jeff?
I think his phone may have dropped out. If he calls back, we'll let you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to get him right on when he calls back because he was holding on a very long time. And I feel bad that we lost him just as he was responding to me. All right. So, Jeff, please call back. While we're waiting, let's go to Michael in the Bronx. Hey, Michael, how are you?
Hey, Mark. How's it going, guy?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm upset about what's going on in California. I don't think it's going to end well for Chris Dorner, and I think this should be a lesson for people who want to fight their government with guns rather than through due process.
Absolutely. You know, there's two things involved here. Number one, this whole idea of the government's coming to get your guns. I know we had this discussion before. As you said, if that was the case, they will come already. I think I made that point pretty clear.
Yeah, no, they're going to win. Chris Dorner's going to end up dead, and the government will win, and Chris Dorner did not go about this the right way, clearly.
And he did not, and he definitely does have a legitimate issue here because I know about the corruption of the LAPD.
Oh, I don't dispute that. I don't dispute that. I don't dispute the racism. I don't dispute the corruption. You know, he should go to 60 Minutes. He should come to my show. There's a lot of people who want to expose this kind of thing, but you don't go around shooting people.
Absolutely, absolutely. You're 100% spot on that. And the reason why I can relate to that, and I'm always here in New York City, is because we've had the same problem with the NYPD for a number of years. All right, and a lot of the corruption is due to political influence and improper leadership. I can tell you right away from the local radio shows that I've listened to, there are retired cops and people who couldn't be on the force anymore. They have said that they go through their basic training, and then as soon as they get assigned to a precinct, the commanding officer, the squad leader, says, "Hey, look, the stuff you learned in training, that's just tiddlywinks. Throw that aside. Forget you ever learned it. This is the real deal here, and you're going to follow the way we do things." And a lot of the way they do things is the corruption and so forth. We got a case right now, which is another example of an innocent person killed by police, wrongly killed by police, the Romali Graham case, and once again, the NYPD is on trial, if you want to put it that way. I would hope that regardless of what happens with, I forgot his name that you mentioned, out in California.
Antonio Villaraigosa, the mayor?
No. The guy, the fugitive.
Oh, Chris Dorner is the guy.
Chris Dorner, yes. Yeah. I would hope that, and I think that whatever happens to Dorner, this would be a wake-up call on why we need federal intervention against the police department. We need somebody policing the police.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You know, there's no one that would be more sympathetic, I would think, than the Attorney General Eric Holder and the Department of Justice to a claim of racism or corruption in the police. Antonio Villaraigosa is the mayor of Los Angeles. I looked up the chain of command because it came up in our last discussion with another caller, and he appoints the police commission board that chooses the police chief. So there's a direct line of command from the police to the police chief to the commission board to the mayor, who is a liberal Democrat. He's a Latino. I've heard nothing but good things about Mayor Villaraigosa. So it seems to me that Chris Dorner, even though he lost in the internal procedures of the police, even though he lost in the courts, if he had a legitimate claim, and he may not have. I mean, I'm not saying his claim is legitimate. Just because the LAPD is racist in the past, I can't say specifically whether his claim was legitimate. I didn't review the facts of it. But if he had a legitimate claim, he had a legitimate place to go for his claim. And I think he should have done that.
Legitimate ways of doing
exactly. Michael, thanks for calling in. I want to get back to Jeff because he was hanging on a very long time and his phone cut off. Jeff, I'll tell you what, I need to take a commercial break now, but when I come back, the floor will be yours and we'll finish our discussion. 888-653-7543. This is Mark Levine. We'll get back to Jeff right after this break. Welcome back to the show. Barack Obama, our president, will give a State of the Union address right here on this station in 13 minutes. This is Mark Levine, still talking about Chris Dorner. He is the ex-Los Angeles police officer who is now holed up in a cabin on fire in Big Bear, near Big Bear Lake in Southern California. He may well be dead as we speak. The fire, it's not clear how it started. It may have been from tear gas canisters shot in. There's also a report that there's a basement down there. So it's possible that Dorner is hanging out in the basement. Of course, I guess you could suffocate down there in the flames. The police are waiting for the fire to die down, and then they're going to go check the ruins, I guess, for a body. Not a very pretty end to a guy trying to take on the government. A person whose claims may well have been justified, but decided to fight his government with violence rather than going the admittedly slower and less flashy democratic route we have in our constitutional republic. Jeff from Indiana has called back, and I want to give him a chance to speak. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me back on.
Sure, sure. Go ahead.
So, I don't know exactly where I cut off. I was on a tirade about the definition of assault rifles.
Okay. Look, my issue is, and listen, I think if the Republicans would work with the Democrats, they could come to a really good bill. I mean, I recognize the assault weapons ban was definitely imperfect legislation. How about if we just start with ammunition clips? Let's leave out the semi-automatic for the moment. And just let me see if I can get you to agree with me that 30 bullet clips are too much for ordinary citizens to have for either self-defense or hunting. That unless you're in the police or a soldier, you don't need a 30 bullet or clip or a 100 bullet drum. Are we agreed on that?
I would debate that a little bit, and that kind of segues right into the militia.
Okay.
If you look at any state constitution, everything basically, if the ratified changed attitude, unless it states the change specifically, nothing can be taken away, first of all, unless it states a specific change or an add-on, in other words, everything just carries over.
That's you lost
the first
me.
Line.
You lost me. You're talking about state constitutions or the Second Amendment?
Well, kind of goes hand in hand. State constitutions right now. In each state constitution, there's a blurb about the militia, and this is from, of course, when we were all founded.
Right, but Christopher Dorner wasn't in a militia, so this doesn't apply to him.
Right.
Okay.
We're talking about the amounts of rounds per clip.
Yeah, but look, you can have... I'm not disputing mm-hmm. that if you're in the National Guard or the military or a police force, well-regulated militias, right, then you can have machine guns, as far as I'm concerned. I'm talking about the right of individuals to carry arms absent a militia, and I have no problem, first of all, with the constitutionality of banning ammunition clips of more than, say, 10 bullets. I have no problem with the constitutionality, and I have no problem with the wisdom. I think it is both constitutional and wise to ban these high-capacity magazines that have been used a lot recently in Arizona and Colorado and Newtown, Connecticut. Are you arguing with me based on the constitutionality or based on the wisdom or both?
Well, just to get into my point real quick, then I'll,
all right,
I'll step in with you.
Sure, I just missed your point, so explain it to me. Go ahead.
Okay, I didn't get to say it.
All right, go ahead. I'm waiting.
Yeah, basically it states, and everyone's the same, I haven't found one that differs, that any able-bodied male between the ages of 18 and 45 is a part of the militia for the state.
Which state constitution says that?
Just about every one of them that I can find.
I haven't seen that in a state constitution, but I can't say I've read all 50 of them. Sure. Do you know one specifically that has that in there?
Michigan and Indiana both.
All right. I'll take a look at Indiana as we speak. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Make your point.
Sure. Well, that was just it. An able-bodied male would be mentally fit, physically fit to engage in militia activities, of course. That basically goes right along with the Second Amendment to the Constitution, where the right of the people to keep and bear arms is because the people are the militia. We are there to protect our communities, if need be, from whatever, you know, whatever seems to be the case. And, you know, that's kind of where I stand on the whole thing.
Okay. What's your view on whether or not we can ban these high-capacity magazines?
Well, I think there needs to be thorough background checks done. If the biggest problem is the gun shows, where people can get a hold of this stuff without any kind of questions asked, as you said earlier,
mm-hmm.
I think that needs to be looked at genuinely. And perhaps shut those down for a short time while things are resolved. But as far as banning the specific amounts of bullets per magazine, I don't think, I wouldn't agree to that, no. But I think the people buying them should be looked at.
I actually, since you mentioned the Indiana Constitution, I pulled it up. Article 12, Section 1 does say a militia shall be provided and shall consist of all persons over the age of 17, except those persons who may be exempted by the laws of the United States or by this state. But you're an Indiana resident, right, Jeff?
Correct.
Are you in the Indiana militia?
Well, according to that, I am.
Well, I don't know that you are, because it says a militia shall be provided. I don't know whether Indiana is actually taking every single person over the age of 17 and regulating them in a militia.
They're definitely not.
Well, they're not. So maybe Indiana's not following its own constitution here. But it's an old provision, but it doesn't seem to be
with every state, to be honest.
That's sort of my point, is that, I certainly am not an Indiana lawyer and would never claim to be, but if everyone's in the militia, then militia has no meaning. I'm sorry. If there's no regulation, if every 17-year-old in high school is part of the Indiana militia, and every 103-year-old man or woman is part of the militia, the word has no meaning. They're not being regulated. They're not in the National Guard. They're not being trained. It seems to me that Indiana either needs to modify its constitution or, frankly, it's already ignoring a provision of it.
It is, and it is ignoring it. And again, all the states are ignoring this, Michigan, Indiana. And as far as the ones around me, my general area, the states around me I've looked at very specifically, and it's in all of them.
You know, I mean, look, there was a need for a militia in the 19th century. I understand that. There was a need for a posse in the Wild West. But these provisions in state constitutions, Indiana's been a state since the 1830s, I believe. They made sense in the 1830s. They don't make sense today. Every state has a National Guard. Those are militias. I'm fine with that. They're well regulated. They have these arms. Frankly, they're protected by the Second Amendment. No one's complaining about the National Guards. But to argue that every single person is in the militia because your Constitution says so, when clearly Indiana isn't enforcing this part of the Constitution, I don't know. That seems to me to be a stretch, because it would lead to, frankly, mentally ill people. They're over 17. Violent felons, they're over 17. People on the terrorist watch list, they're over 17. Right. Clearly, they're not in the militia.
You have to keep in mind, though, it's every able-bodied male.
No, it doesn't say male. Doesn't say male. I got it right in front of me. It says all persons over the age of 17, except those persons who may be exempted by the laws of the United States or of this state. Now, it may be there are additional laws. Again, I'm not an Indiana lawyer. I am a lawyer. There may be additional Indiana laws that say everyone's in the militia except for 99% of the populace. I mean, they may have laws that actually carve out a hole big enough to drive a truck through, because it does say except those who may be exempted by the laws of Indiana. So my guess is there's further laws that restrict who's in the militia in Indiana. But I haven't read them.
Stay with me here. I'm getting there.
All right, go ahead, real quick.
In every previous version of the Indiana Constitution, all right, if you follow it back to the previous document, and then if you can't find the restrictions in that one, go to one previous, because everything carries over to each and every one.
Right.
So somewhere along the line back there, and I don't remember exactly which one it is, but it defines what the restrictions are. It's religious reasons. There's age restrictions on the maximum age. There's physically fitness.
Sounds like it's well regulated. That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Again, you're right. They're not enforcing it. And one of the things is that it should be enforced.
Right, and it should be well regulated, and that's what the Second Amendment protects, the right to bear arms in a well-regulated militia, which no one I know, liberal or conservative, has a problem with. The problem comes when individuals want to form their own militia and want to take on the police, and when that happens, people like Chris Dorner, I think he's going to end up dead. And I
have to disagree with you a little bit, Mark.
Okay, real quick, though, because I got only 30 seconds left. Make your point for 30 seconds, and then we're done. Go ahead.
With all due respect, any militia that's been put together by the citizenry is not against the government. They're there to protect the citizenry. They are very much patriots, red-blooded Americans like you and I. They want what's best for the people.
Well, I agree with that. I agree with every word you said. That to me, that's the National Guards, and they're absolutely there. brave men and women there to protect the people. They're not against the government. They're on the side of the government. In fact, when there was a militia formed to stop George Washington in the Whiskey Rebellion in the 1790s, he sent a bunch more people, militia, to knock them down. So to me, the founders have made it very clear. The purpose of the Second Amendment is not to fight your government. The purpose of the Second Amendment is to serve your government and your fellow citizens in protecting your country. Thanks for your call, Jeff. I appreciate it. That's it for the show. This is Mark Levine. We got Barack Obama coming up in just 2.5 minutes. Stay tuned to this very station to hear the State of the Union address. If you want to know more about me, just follow me on Twitter at Mark Levine Talk, MarkLevineTalk. Don't confuse me with Mark Levin. And my website is marklevinetalk.com. You can watch radio, TV. Let me know that you heard tonight's show, whether you agree or disagree. I want to hear from you. Until next time, this is Mark Levine signing off.